All right, what's up? And welcome to the Carson Anderson Program. Open lines, 248-539-9797. Promise we get to some Lions stuff. First of all, you said something during the break. Kind of want to follow up on it on the air.
Yeah, I don't. I've read a lot about the Lions over the last few days here,
as
we do with our jobs. And somebody, I forget who it was, had an observation that Josh Dobbs hasn't really taken many snaps at practice.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously he just joined the team a week and a half ago, but it is a week and a half and he's still not taking that many snaps. Be curious to talk. Maybe I don't know if we'll talk with Birchie tomorrow, gearing up for the big preseason game on Saturday, but that's something to ask about, because if he's not getting that many snaps, if they're really basically saying Altmyer is, they're going to give everything to Altmyer because he's the rookie and you just want to flood him with it. I don't know if the Lions are looking at another quarterback or not, but I get a feeling that they might actually wait to see the waiver wire and see if there's a better option out there.
So is Dobbs hurt?
I don't think he's hurt.
Yeah, I mean, if he is, then you better sign somebody, because if Altmyer gets hurt, you don't want to be playing Jared Goff in the fourth quarter of the second preseason game, right?
Right.
So, you know, I would think that they would have to have somebody else ready to go, even if it's just a snap and hand off three times and then punt, because this is not that critical. God, preseason football. I watch it and I get fired up for it every year because it's like crawling across a desert days without food and you come across a cracker and you're like, oh my God, a cracker. That's what these preseason games are like. Oh my God, football. But they are so monumentally inconsequential, it feels like, compared to what happens in practices. And you know, the five practices, six practices in between preseason games are probably far more developmental and important than what happens on a televised game against another team with, you know, playing real quote football. But all right, I saw something today. NFL hot seat for all 32 teams. The term hot seat, I'm going to read from this story. The term hot seat is often reserved for NFL coaches, but really every player's seat is hot in some way or another every year. Whether it's making the roster, making a jump, or winning a Super Bowl, there's always pressure to perform. Not all hot seats are created equal. For a coach on this list, a bad performance might mean they don't have a job next year. For a player, it might mean a drastically reduced role or salary, a new team, or simply the need to play at a higher level. With that in mind, here's the hottest seat for all 32 teams. Who do you think? And 248-539-9797. Coaches, players, all things included, who from the Lions has the hottest seat?
Interesting. I'm trying to go between coaches or players.
Mm-hmm.
And so for me to think about players, it that leads me to think, okay, a starter that is ready to lose his starting job. And I don't know if I see that with the offensive line necessarily. I mean, I don't think if you see Larry Borum's on the hot seat, I don't know if that's fair to say, because I don't know if, I mean, they did draft a first-round pick. You'd expect that guy to have a chance to win the job, and it looks like Blake Miller is going to win that job. On the defensive side of the ball,
I mean,
is Hanzarike on the hot seat? I mean, I thought outside of a loophole in the contract, I don't think he'd be on this team. So I don't know if there's any. So now I'm thinking, is there a coach? And I mean, because I can't say injured players, that's not fair. Is DJ Reed on the hot seat?
Interesting.
If I'm thinking of a player,
if you're going with a player,
I might go with DJ Reed because he didn't have a great year last year, and you know he's expected to be a CB1 on this team. But is he? Is he getting competition? Are other guys, you know, knocking on the door for their opportunity? Is it Ennis Rakestraw because he's in year three and he has hardly played in the first 2 years? I mean, that probably is a safe call to say. But they need him to be good. And if it's a coach, is it Kelvin Shepard, the defensive coordinator? I like Shep, but I don't know if I mean, I'm sure there's other candidates out there that, that might be able to do a better job, but I'm hopeful that he can. Great guy, and I love his energy. And maybe with a healthy contingent of players, we'll really see what this defense can do. But that just is, it's more of a prove-it year for him and his defense, and I hope he proves it.
Yeah, there is a T.J. Reed's under contract for one more year after this one, but he comes at a significantly lesser of a cap hit. So, you know, is he on the hot seat? Contracts have a lot to do with it. Ennis Rakestraw, it feels like if he can't stay on the field this year, that there's a good chance that they move on from him. So that's a solid pick. It doesn't feel like there's an obvious answer from the coaching staff. You mentioned Calvin Shepard. Is Drew Petzing come in on the hot seat? Because John Morton didn't last half a season. Right. There's so much riding on this offense. And I'm not saying that Petzing has done anything whatsoever.
I think it's too early to say that. But, I mean, if we've seen two offensive coordinators that have not worked out that were both gone halfway through the season, through their first season.
Mm-hmm. So, and Dan Campbell's taken over, and Dan Campbell's, it feels like it's gotten better both times when Dan Campbell took over. Kang, can you think of an obvious answer? Who's on the hot seat?
I don't think it's obvious, but if I had to pick a coach, I agree Calvin Shepard would be the coach that's on the hot seat. The Lions defense last year, for a lot of people, cost them a couple games, which, you know, they could have made the playoffs. And it sounds like they're trying some different things this year with the defensive line that they weren't doing last year. And he was a first-year coordinator, so eyes were on him. As far as player-wise, I think if I'd say Tesla or Mahogany as possible guys that could not start the season if they don't have good camps. Mm-hmm. Mahogany, we know the offensive line is an issue in general, but his spot, I don't think it's sewn up by any means. And Tesla, they use a lot of capital to go get him. And Dortch is a guy who's very capable of stepping into his spot in the slot. And he's, by all accounts, done very well at this camp. So, and Tesla's young enough where they can be like, hey, let's sit you to start until you get, you know, kind of learn from the veteran and grow into that position. So those are the two players that come to mind, and Shepard's the coach. But I don't think that's an obvious answer.
No, I think it's actually pretty tough to come up with a Detroit Lion.
I think after we've talked this through, I think it's Ennis Rakestraw.
Do you?
Mm-hmm.
I feel like he doesn't even have a seat. That's why you're like,
well, right. But I'm saying if he does, he could be, he's on a, you know, his rookie contract, which is be 4 years because he was a second round pick. And if he's not able to cut the mustard this year, where, I mean, you haven't been healthy the first two seasons, you got to be healthy year three. And if you're not, then they're going to end up cutting bait.
Yeah. I mean, he definitely doesn't have, he's got to play well to keep a roster spot. Thus, but I guess I never even like factor him in. I feel like he's a complete bonus. You know what I mean?
If something happens. Yes. Yeah. I mean, the emergence of Nick Whiteside, they can't talk enough about Nick Whiteside. Might be putting even more pressure.
Whiteside and Abney.
Yeah. Oh, Abney. They love Abney, and Abney's taking some first team reps.
Then they like Rocky Asin, obviously.
I do like him a lot.
Penciled in to be a starter.
All right. 248-539-9797. We will tell you coming up next segment who the Lions selection was for on the hot seat. But we want to know your suggestions. If you were to pick a Detroit Lion that is on the hot seat going into this season, coach or player, who would you pick? Another edition of Are You Going to Eat That coming up today at 12:35.
Well, I got a lot to look forward to, right? On this show. It's not just, we're not just all Tigers all the time, getting some Lions talk, get some NFL stuff too. Do we have any updates at all on Jalen Duren?
There is one there, but we'll get to that coming up in a minute. 248-539-9797. Hey, there's a moment when a home stops being a someday and starts being. Doug Carr, Scott Anderson, 97.1 open lines, 248-539-9797. Let's go to T-Bone and Quincy. You're on 97.1. Hello, T-Bone.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Okay, what's up?
Hey, I'm an old Ragnow fan. I got the jersey, the man, the myth, the legend. Those are huge shoes to fill. We've never locked it down yet, and that's where I think the hot seat is as far as the Lions go. the whole offense revolves around that team leader. So that's my two cents on it.
You think it's the center position in general?
Absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, to me, that more of a reflection of Brad Holmes addressing the problem. If you look at it, they signed Seth McLaughlin. They traded for Juice Scruggs. And I'm talking about now that Cade Mays is gone.
But they had done these in the past. Yeah.
Obviously, Cade Mays is hurt. So they've continued to try and make up for the loss of Ragnow. And this is the second year of doing so. Have they done enough?
3 weeks ago, they had.
Yeah.
And then boom.
Who's on the hot seat, if anyone? Hunter and Clarkson says, Doug and Scott, Reed should not be on the hot seat. He was a zone corner his entire career, and Brad signed him to play man. That's on Brad and Campbell, not DJ Reed. From an unnamed texter, the person that should have the hottest seat in the Lions organization can only be Brad Holmes. The team was so close in 24 and 25, and he did nothing to bring in the required talent to get him over the top. They regressed last season. I see them only being worse this season, as once again, there was nothing done to make them better than last season.
Well, they
nothing
they
done.
Did I absolutely disagree with that? They made the move to go sign a free agent center.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, he's hurt. I can't predict that, but they did try to improve the offensive line, and then they used a first round pick on a right tackle.
Like their biggest free agent signing and their biggest draft pick were both brought to improve the offensive line to get it back to what it was.
Yeah, but they didn't get Max Crosby, Doug.
If that's what he's talking about, we need to make him work in the real world. Like teams don't have two elite edge rushers. Like you can go back and historically now, do teams have two edge rushers better than Aiden Hutchinson and what DJ Wonnum and Derek Moore might be? Yeah, maybe. But even so, they put a high draft capital into the edge opposite of Hutch, and they signed a free agent at the edge opposite of Hutch. And oh, by the way, the guy they drafted last year was probably their best edge rusher in the first preseason game. So, and Ahmed Hassanein. You know, if you don't think they've done anything, or you only wanted one big splash, it just doesn't, I don't know. I don't know if he's operating in the real world. Now, did they do the right things? I would argue, you can make an argument that you don't think they did the right things, but I don't think you could say they once again did nothing to make them better than last season.
So Dan Campbell is speaking with the media right now, and apparently he has just said that the backup quarterback role between Dobbs and Altmyer is still open. Dobbs will start Saturday's game against the Commanders. Okay. Jared Goff is not playing. So it's interesting because Dobbs hasn't gotten a whole lot of reps in practice. I imagine it's going to change for today, and then they have the walkthrough tomorrow.
Being safe about your guys not playing, you can guarantee they won't get hurt in a preseason game by not playing them.
Mm-hmm.
You also leave yourself vulnerable to a slow start to the season, to the real season. Jared Goff not taking a quarter's worth of preseason snaps, is that really going to make that much of a difference? If they were playing a game with tremendous importance in 3 weeks or whatever it is the season starts, would you have him taking snaps in a preseason game? I mean, I suppose.
I think I've said this before. I think you're damned if you do and you're damned if you don't if you play guys.
Mm-hmm.
You're never going to please everybody, and it's not about pleasing the fans. It's about doing what's right for the team, and there are different philosophies at work. Some say you should play them. Some say you shouldn't. Some teams are gun-shy because of injuries. Other teams don't care. I think when you have a veteran quarterback like Jared Goff who knows what he's doing, that it's probably easier to say we don't need to start him. We give him plenty of reps in practice, plenty of looks. We'll be fine. With a new offensive coordinator and presumably a new offense to work with, I might be a little bit more surprised that they're not going to give him reps in game number two, because I don't think they're going to play him in game number three. But it doesn't bother me. I'm fine with it. It's different if you've got a 24-year-old quarterback than if you've got a 31-year-old quarterback.
248-539-9797. The linebacker Derek Barnes is definitely on the hot seat for me. That's from Tommy in Kalamazoo. So, I think Barnes will make plays, but if Devin White, they drafted Jimmy Roller, who's hurt. They've signed Devin White, could take some snaps away, I suppose. Malcolm Rodriguez is a big season. I think they have big plans for Derek Barnes, but
I think they do too.
Lee McNeil. He has to have a good season and return to form or else he needs to go. It's from an unnamed texter. And then Nick and Ipsy says, Lee McNeil's 100% on the hot seat. He was bad after coming back from injury. And if he looks the same, you absolutely have to move on. It saves you money.
Well, moving on, that'd be a big contract to swallow up there because he's due a lot of money still. And by all accounts, sounds like he's doing great in camp. So I don't know if I'd say he's on a hot seat. I think he's expected to be playing just fine.
His cap hit this year is $28.966 million. That's a lot. Next year, $27.7 million. The year after, $29.216 million. Now, these things can get renegotiated. There's an out after this year and with a $16 million price tag. So there might be some truth to that. Because if he has a bad year, they might exercise that. Okay, here's what the answer was. Story was in CBS Sports by Zachary Perilous. 32 teams, 32 players or coaches on the hot seat. For the Detroit Lions, Blake Miller. He writes, "Welcome to the NFL, Blake Miller. Your role, step up and into the spot vacated by arguably the best offensive lineman in the game on a team that desperately needs to bounce back and viewed through the same lens could be a Super Bowl contender. Miller will slot in at right tackles. Penei Sewell switches to left side. Jared Goff is heavily dependent on pass protection, so Miller's performance will be crucial. There are plenty of question marks on the defense who could have landed on this list. Several cornerbacks, injured safety Kirby Joseph and defensive lineman Tyleek Williams, but Miller will be under trial by fire right away." Well, at the beginning of the story, in his defense, he wrote, "Hot seat is different things to different people." And that it's can be used in all of not all hot seats are created equal. He wrote, "I'm sorry, but what?"
I mean, by definition of what we would think of hot seat, I don't think Blake Miller's on a hot seat. Is there pressure on him to do well as a rookie if he's going to be if he's earned the starting right tackle position? Of course there is. No one's going to compare him to Penei Sewell.
No,
Penei Sewell's on the other side. He's still playing.
The best, like, if we're going to compare him to anybody, it'd be comparing him to Taylor Decker.
Exactly. And, again, a lofty comparison. I had somebody ask me, well, what if he's just, if Blake Miller only becomes Taylor Decker? I'm like, thank you. I'll take it. Why wouldn't you want that? 10 years of really stable tackle play? I'll take that.
When we were doing the draft shows, and I thought, like, hey, Blake Miller's a guy we should look out for being drafted by the Lions. It's not going to be a sexy pick, but this is Taylor Decker, basically. Mini Taylor Decker, like a solid guy you can count on at the end of the line for a decade. And he may be borderline Pro Bowl, borderline not, but he's going to be a guy you can count on to go out there. And that's exactly what they want. And, of course, they want more than that. He's got a higher ceiling, but
it's, the it's floor a super should be something, high floor.
Yeah. The floor should be something like Taylor Decker is what they're hoping for.
I found this to be a laughable inclusion in this list. Now, considering how much we kind of struggled coming up with somebody who's legitimately like so clearly on the hot seat for the Lions, there isn't an obvious answer. I mean, there are some players that you could say kind of have to perform or it could be. And Ennis Rakestraw was a great name. And Kang, you said you didn't even know if he had a seat. How could it possibly be hot? Aleem McNeil, because of the potential out, I suppose, could be a guy. All seems like the reviews from camp are very, very good. DJ Reed was mentioned. As a guy that needs to perform or else, I guess. But Blake Miller?
Yeah, I think that's a poor choice.
I would say that Blake Miller is one of the rookies whose performance his team is relying on as much as any other team. Like, I think Blake Miller, there is pressure to perform, but...
Yeah, but not to the point where...
Hot seat implies that there's immediate consequences.
Yeah.
And there's not immediate consequences for Blake Miller. There might be immediate consequences for the Lions, but it's not like Blake Miller's going to get released.
No.
No, but he might lose his starting job.
Yes, he might.
If he starts the season.
But the consequences of being on the hot seat usually aren't, hey, we're going to pack you away and give you another shot next year. Anyway, interesting. 248-539-9797. All right, Scott, you ready for another edition of Are You Going to Eat That?
Yeah. I mean,
including an in-studio taste test.
Oh, I don't know about this.
You can turn it down now if you want.
You're not hungry?
I mean, Kang, here's my concern. What has Doug told us? Hey, I was going up north and I was going to eat the freeze-dried crap. And he hated the freeze-dried stuff he tried. And
forgot about that. Yeah.
Hey, but he's got more freeze-dried crap to try.
So good we didn't even try it.
Yeah. I think this is what he's going to present to us. And yes, we're going to have to do it.
We will get to that next on Carson Anderson on 97.1.
Hey.
So this is interesting. At this hour, we have a tweet from a Red Wing insider, Ryan Hanna. Multiple sources confirm that the Detroit Red Wings GM, president of hockey operations process, is indeed already underway with interviews having already taken place and continuing today.
That's encouraging.
It is.
Get it done quickly here. Mm-hmm. Training camp starts September 17th. It'd be nice to have somebody in place, hopefully in the next week.
I don't know what to believe because there are reports of the contrary, but I told you when I was on vacation, I was driving around up north, my phone rang, somebody in the league saying, "What the hell's going on over there?" I'm like, "What do you mean?" So with every job, you hear something. When this job, nobody knows what's going on. Nobody knows who's interviewing. Nobody knows. And so I'm just sharing that conversation here on the air, but it didn't sound like, you know, there was much buzz about the Red Wing job. So just got to get it right. This team, this organization, my word, how the mighty have fallen.
Yeah.
I mean, it
25 years of greatness.
It was just fun. Humming along. It was such a well-oiled and run machine, and now it's a mess. And yeah, I mean, there's a lot of culpability go around, and probably starts with ownership and, you know, the belief in the people that they believed in, they haven't rewarded them.
You can't believe it. It's such a storied franchise with multiple championships and multiple Hall of Famers, and then they don't have a GM for a month. And the captain wants out. Like, could you imagine something like that happen with the Patriots? They just don't have a GM for a month. You know what I mean? Like, pick a storied franchise that's won a bunch of championships. And
yeah, like the Yankees or something.
Yeah, that mm-hmm. doesn't happen. What's going on over there?
It's, I don't know.
It's weird.
It's if you hire the right, if somehow, some way, by some miracle, hire the right person, they can move on from this. But it feels to me like the hiring season is over. The best candidates are probably gone. And so, it doesn't bode well. Almost a bit. It might be best to just put an interim GM in place and get into next year's hiring cycle and be first in line for next year's hiring cycle. You know?
For GMs?
Yeah. Interim GM and be first in line for next year's hiring cycle. I know. I don't want to pee away a season, but.
No, I hear what you're saying. I mean, they've had plenty of time to figure this out, and they, I mean, effectively they have the first choice because everybody else is already has. There's no competition. Everybody else has their GM.
If you want to pick somebody,
if you would be doing is what having
another full year of evidence
to see if a GM becomes available or if somebody else proves himself within the ranks of another team.
Yeah, exactly. Next year there's going to be a GM. Fired and a GM hired, and somebody's going to be the top candidate of that hiring cycle, and you could have the first jump on it. I think looking at it as you're first in line now, no, they're last in line. All the best candidates with all the information we have been hired.
So, you just quote Ronnie James Dio and the band Dio with the last in line?
I do it all the time. It's about time you've noticed.
Yeah. I like it. Nice job.
All right, here we go. There we go. You ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
We have new menu items, new things available on store shelves. Test Gator's interest. Kang, I've give my two cents as well. First of its kind, canned chili is coming to shelves, is a must for football season.
Canned chili.
Yep.
Okay.
Hormel.
Yeah.
Now available nationwide, Hormel chili and Omaha steaks. Oh. 100% natural beef chili with beans is ready to be part of your late summer dinner plans and beyond. According to Hormel, the new collaboration is raising the bar for canned chili. However, Omaha Steaks beef is not featured in the chili. Instead, the brand aided in the recipe to develop the shape shape the product's meat presentation, texture, and overall eating experience. Are you going to eat that?
All right, this is tough. Because Hormel has like the market cornered when it comes to canned chili, as far as I'm concerned. Mm-hmm. And I think everybody at some point in their life has had some Hormel canned chili. It's like last resort chili, as far as I'm concerned. Making chili is fun. I enjoy the whole process of making a pot of chili. And I think most guys that like to cook, they feel like they can cook a chili. The thought of getting chili in a can, just I don't like that thought to begin with. But I was intrigued when you said Omaha Steaks.
Oh, me too, Gator.
Right? Omaha Steaks has the market cornered when it comes to prepackaged, frozen, shipped to your house beef, and I've had it before, and it's great.
Doug, take our word on it. Omaha Steaks, they can do a steak.
They know what they're doing. It's good stuff. So I'll try this. You know, in a pinch, let's go with it. And it sounds good, but then you had to go ahead and ruin it, and I'm glad you did by saying that. Oh well, Omaha Steaks is not providing meat. They're merely consulting with the meat consistency.
What is this?
Of the beef that's going to be used in the chili for Hormel?
The meat presentation, the texture, and overall eating experience.
I'm sorry, but Hormel shouldn't need advice from somebody else on how to present their meat. And particularly if they're not even going to provide the meat. Yeah, this is flush. Absolutely no.
Okay.
This is the bait and switch, man.
The total bait and switch.
This is like hiring an overpriced consultant to come in and tell you something, but they're not really providing anything. And so, what did I just pay for? With that being said, I do kind of want to try it. Because you're right, though. Nothing beats homemade chili. You're absolutely right. But they got me. I'm not going to lie. I fall for marketing all the time. This is one of those times where I'm going to fall for it again. Even though I know there's no actual Omaha steak in this. We'll see.
I put this in the same category as like SpaghettiOs or ravioli in a can. When I was younger, I loved it. We would go for it all the time. Sometimes I would eat it straight out of the can. Don't even have to heat it up.
Look at you, man.
Yeah, that was a maverick back in the day. But at some point you grow up and you're like, maverick. You know what? That's right. I said it.
And you said at some point you grow up.
At some point you grow up. Making your own spaghetti is not that difficult to do, and it's a million times better than SpaghettiOs. Just like the same thing, making your own chili is not that hard to do, and it's actually it's like you get a to-do list, you grocery
okay,
list.
Okay, dude, we're running out of time. We can talk about this next segment. We move on. Pop, I'm a no.
Oh, you're a no. Yeah,
Pop-Tarts. They have a collab. Buzz Balls has launched a limited edition line of ready-to-drink cocktails flavored like Pop-Tarts, Frosted S'mores, and Frosted Brown Sugar Cinnamon, targeting nostalgic millennial consumers. The ready-to-drink cocktail flavored alcohol drinks created specifically with the millennial fans in mind taps into the nostalgia of enjoying Pop-Tarts growing up in the 90s. Both flavors contain 15% alcohol by volume. Gator, the Pop-Tarts Buzz Ball. Are you going to drink that?
No, I'm not going to drink that. I make my own cocktails, and I don't need it to be overly sweet.
Yeah, I'm out. This is like asking kids to become alcoholics, yeah. By the way. Have you seen the bottles? It's like, it looks like straight up Pop-Tarts, like a smoothie.
This is for the college crowd. This is not for the adult crowd.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it sounds awful. Next up, Gator.
Doesn't sound better than a Frosty.
No, it doesn't. You know the Reese's peanut butter and jelly cups filled with grape and strawberry jellies?
Yes.
Well, here's another collab. Inspired by the jelly-filled peanut butter cups, General Mills is dropping a new limited edition Reese's Puffs PB&J cereal. The crunchy corn puff cereal combines the candy signature peanut butter and chocolate flavors with a new strawberry jelly twist. And early taste testers are loving it. Gator, are you going
to
eat that?
I got to try it. I'm not likely to really enjoy it. And I know I'd buy it. It'd be a repurchase, but I got to try it. I mean, I think about, you know, Captain Crunch used to have the peanut butter Captain Crunch. And that's what I'm thinking of. It's got those kind of vibes. And that was delicious. But yeah, I'll try it.
Okay. Can you?
I'm gonna try it, man. I like peanut butter and jelly. I'm with you, Gator.
Yeah, I can't do candy for breakfast, and that's what it sounds like for me. A post
what
on
if it had
Facebook.
More protein.
Oh,
and then we'll talk. TX.
It's got peanut butter.
Frugal Finds on Facebook posted a picture: limited edition Dunkin' scented Febreze air spray spotted at Walmart. We've got cinnamon roll. We've got vanilla latte. And we've got strawberry frosted donut. Febreze Dunkin' scented air spray. Gator, are you going to use it?
Yeah. I love scents. I mean, I buy candles, scented candles all the time. I love them. The only problem, I wouldn't buy all of these because I don't want my house smelling like it's something that I have to wear. Like, where's the food? I want to eat it. And it just, it just sets you off in the wrong direction. But, yeah, I would absolutely consider this. I can't wait to go to a store and spray it and check it out.
Can you?
Yeah, I would try it. Anything smells better than farts and poop.
Well, if that's the bar, then yeah, I'll try it. If that's not the bar, I have other scents that I prefer.
What? You don't want donuts in the bathroom?
No.
Come on, man.
Cinnamon and vanilla are a pretty good scents to have. It's that one that's like the glazed donut that you're like, all right, because now I'm going to be hunting the house to find my Krispy Kremes.
And finally, thanks to Officer Matt, we have an in-studio taste test.
Oh, thank God it's Officer Matt and not Doug.
It's courtesy of Oreo, the apple pie a la mode Oreo cookie. Gator, we've got a couple of these here. I want you to grab some. I will take one. Paul, take the whole thing back there for you and Kang to try.
Don't get excited, Paul.
The Oreo apple pie a la mode. Gator, give it a shot. Tell me what you think. Taking a bite. This is a white cookie, like the golden Oreo.
Didn't smell it first, Gator?
Oh, I'm fine.
Smells
And what do you think?
Apple-y.
I think Paul's going to bring those back.
Oh! So Gator's a yes. Can you?
Oh, my God. This is so good.
Where's the a la mode part, though?
I don't care. It tastes like apple, though.
It does. It tastes a lot like apple. It tastes like a more firm Fig Newton.
And I love the...
Am I right?
No, you're right. It without the grittiness of the Fig Newton. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh yeah.
It's pretty good.
Yeah.
Very apple.
It's a golden Oreo too. I like the golden Oreo better than regular Oreo. Yeah.
Okay.
You ate one too. So what do you think?
That is effing fantastic. I can't believe how good that is.
It's so good.
Yep. So three thumbs up on the golden. Thank you, Officer Matt.
All right, Paul, you can bring him back.
There you go. Another edition. Are you going to eat that? We have some injury news out of Lions camp to a starter. We'll get to that in 5 minutes on Carson Anderson on 97.1. All right, Dan Campbell speaking at this hour. We got some update stuff here. Read from a variety of reports. Colton Pouncey of The Athletic. Dan Campbell says Sam Laporta is dealing with a hip injury. Feels good about him long term, but the Lions will rest him for now. Doesn't know if it will linger into the regular season. Dave Briquette, Lions injury update. Sam Laporta out with a hip injury. Dan Campbell said he's not sure if it will go into the regular season. Eric Woodyard. Sam Laporta got hit in the hip the other day, and the team is resting him, according to Dan Campbell. It's unclear if the injury will carry over into week one. Quote, I feel like we'll be okay, but I don't know. Now, there's other stuff to get to on the injury front. But historically, when I've seen a preseason injury, my thought is usually, better now than later.
Mm-hmm.
Unless it's season ending, of course, right? right now I'm fighting off, here we go again. Like, this is a critical part of this offense. Drew Petzing was brought in for a variety of reasons. Maybe most is he, you know, smells like Ben Johnson, but he really made the tight end position flourish in Phoenix. Now, maybe that's all he had. But at the end of the day, Laporta, you know, feels like he could be big things ahead, and you just don't want any setbacks, and you certainly don't want anything serious.
No, you don't. And for him, who's in a contract year, mm-hmm. I mean, I'm sure he's rather depressed about what's just happened here, what's transpired. And yet, not going to go crazy because it doesn't sound like it's a long-term thing. And yet, at the same time, you hear, don't know if he's ready for the start of the season. That part bothers me. And that's where you're going to have even more concern. And Sam Laporta is... he's really good in this offense. He and Jared Goff seem to click from day one, and they love throwing the ball to him. He comes up with some big plays because basically he's a big receiver. It's not like he's some massive tight end. It's a converted offensive lineman that can catch a football and run some routes. I mean, it looks like he's a big wide receiver that has adapted well enough to learn the blocking schemes and be adept in that part of the game as well, which makes him a complete tight end. But this isn't great news. No. You know, he's already coming back from back surgery. Now you've got a hip issue. And this is one of those things when you talk about all the contracts the Lions have handed out, and we've talked about this a lot over the last couple of years, at some point you're going to have to make a tough decision. I think Sam Laporta is going to end up being that tough decision at season's end that they're like, we can't give you an extension.
I don't,
and this is a reason why.
I don't love this position behind Sam Laporta.
Brock Wright's fine for what he is.
He's fine for what he is.
He's a number two tight end on a team.
Yep. Who's their best? If Sam Laporta can't go, who's their pass catching threat at tight end?
It might be the, look it up and see, the receiver.
Jaxon Meeks.
That they've turned into a tight end. Like,
you got to get some production out of that position for the offense to be as good as it's got to be. And I feel like this team needs the offense to really carry the day. And that's not a shock. This isn't reinventing football analysis. We all know this. But if Sam Laporta isn't the weapon, because I feel like they're elite. They have elite weapons at every position, including healthy Sam Laporta at tight end. Where you've got upper crust wide receivers, running backs, tight ends, and quarterback, and you know, top 10 in all. I mean, you could argue, if you want to argue one of those things is in top 10, that's fine, but they're in the conversation. Most teams don't have that,
right?
And you take one of those facets away, and look, I don't know how many teams are loaded at tight end. I just don't see a real pass-catching threat that needs to be accounted for down in, down out. Maybe that's not, maybe I'm overreacting, because what team has that as a backup tight end?
Well, actually, the Bears and Packers, I think, have a pretty good tight end room.
If they were to lose one, like if the Packers were to lose have Tucker Craft,
Loveland and Cole Kmet,
that's a pretty damn good duo. Yeah,
the Packers are the guys you just mentioned. I'm looking at staying in division. The Vikings have Hockenson, but then after Hockenson, it gets a little iffy. But yeah, there are teams specifically in division that have that.
Yep.
I think the Raiders have a couple of good tight ends.
Yeah, this is. Now look, let's be clear. We're not talking about season ender. They're saying they're not even sure it's going to carry into the regular season. The Raiders have Brock Bowers and Michael Mayer. That's a good 1-2 combination. And meanwhile, the Lions are...
So that's off the top of my head. There's three teams that have good combinations. And the Lions, like Brock Wright, I like Brock Wright.
I do too.
I just don't look at Brock Wright and think number one tight end. I think great guy to have as a second tight end, the two tight end offense. He's got some decent size to him. He seems to have really good hands. Mm-hmm. But... And look, this may just be they don't have. Does it sound like at worst they could not have Laporta for the first game?
Maybe.
I mean, is that just wishful thinking.
I think it's a guess by you, and I'm not mad at you.
Yeah, it's a total guess. But I mean, we're left to speculate because when Dan Campbell says something like, "Well, we hope it doesn't linger," yeah, you're even putting it out in the universe that it may linger. Yikes.
Mm-hmm. Kang, your thoughts on this?
Yeah, I feel like we're overreacting is because we all have been hurt before.
Yeah.
Right. But I don't want to underreact as well because Sam LaPorta is important to this team and he does so much for this offense. And you guys speak about Drew Petzing, how he used Trey McBride last year in Arizona. He didn't have to, he wasn't going to have to use LaPorta like that because they have so many other weapons. But Sam LaPorta is a really good tight end and when healthy can be one of the elite tight ends in the league. I just don't like the phrasing of it. And maybe he's just being cautious, Coach Campbell, but saying, because he wouldn't commit to him being ready week one. Because if it's not that big of a deal, you say, yeah, well, we're going to hold him out for a little bit. I don't see him missing, you know, the season opener. But he didn't say that. He kind of left it open to be like, we'll see. They're going to rest him and we'll see how this thing reacts. But
yeah, this is a vague ass update.
Yeah. I get the feeling they're looking at the waiver wire, waiting to see what transpires over the next week. We got, you know, week two of the preseason games coming up this weekend. You know, one of the obvious things you would probably go back and look at is a former Lion. Shane Zylstra is with Buffalo. He's right now number four in their depth chart. Is that a guy that maybe gets released and gets picked up by the Lions in the next week or so? Perhaps.
24 days. That's when the opener is.
3 weeks.
I feel like if you're looking at a injury that you don't know if it's going to be better in 24 days, you probably don't know much about the injury. You probably really don't know what it is yet. Because if it's something very minor, if you had some definition, you wouldn't even be talking about maybe missing the regular season. Ah! Mm. Sam LaPorta. Actually, Dan Campbell, hear what he had to say about it for yourself in the update, which is straight ahead. It's Carson Anderson here on 97.1.